Okay, we begin here by the two dots on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Eitvev, Efer Kasher, Shnitarev, Efer Maklet. If you have Efer Kasher, good ashes, as Rashi points out, we're talking about the ashes of a Parah Duma, because otherwise, what's the significance of the ashes? That's mixed up with Efer Maklet, which is just regular ashes. Then, Uchim Achar Arov, L'tameh. In deciding whether it does or does not convey Tuma, we go after the majority over here. As Rashi notes, when it comes to the Parah Duma, we know that anybody who comes into contact with the Efer Parah becomes Tamei. Rashi says that Tamei is a Nogeya Ba. Dichtiv, a Nogeya B'mei Nida Yitma. Anybody who touches the ashes of the Parah Duma becomes Tamei. Now just from the pasuk that Rashi quotes, you already see that maybe that's not so true. It's really B'mei Nida. Mei Nida means the mixture of the ashes with the water. The Mayim Chayim that you have to make into the mixture, that's what's mitameh. The ashes in of themselves, it's not clear that they are mitameh. And so then you have to explain all of this, that they are in the mixture of the water. And then the question is, what is the role of the ashes that are found in the water to determine whether it is mitameh b'maga or not? If the majority of the ashes there are the ashes of the Parah Duma, then touching the mixture, coming into contact with the mixture, would make you tameh. If the majority of the ashes are non-Parah Duma ashes, then it would not make you tamei. Ve'i ruba efer maklehu. If the majority, this non-Parah Duma ashes, lo mitamei, it's not mitamei. Ve'amart. And if you say, tuma command the ite dami, the tuma is as if it is there, nehide b'maga lo mitamei. Okay, understand why by maga you're not going to be tamei. Litamei b'masa. At least you should be tamei when you carry it. So, number of layers that we need to discuss here. Rashi already notes the fact that Iyamar tuma hamitbatelet berov. If you have tuma that now is made or rendered insignificant because it is in the minority, lo betela legamre. We said before, according to Rabbi Yirmiya, that doesn't go away completely. It's as if it still exists. Since it's as if it still exists, when other tuma comes into the picture, then you can reawaken it. Choser v'neur. That was the concept that we discussed in yesterday's daf, that when you have something that was nitbatel, if it then meets its similar genre, then it can reawaken, it can be reconstituted into a problem, even though it's a minority. As Rashi's noting over here, conceptually what that means is that bittul doesn't eliminate the minority. Bittul doesn't make it go away. All it does is renders the psak halacha with regards to this mixture to be governed by the rov. But that means that the minority is still there, just halachically we don't consider it. Had you thought that it was batel, meaning nullified, and it turns the minority into the majority, the minority should never come back to life. It shouldn't exist anymore. And so Rashi's pointing out, clearly in the statement here, is command the ite dami. It's as if it really does still exist. Since it really does still exist, that should have ramifications in areas where you're using bittul. And that's what the Gemara says over here. By tumat maga, fine, when I come into contact with it, whatever I contacted or the point of contact is going to be governed by the rov. Masa works differently, because masa, you carry the entirety of the item. And since you're carrying the entirety of the item, by definition, you've also carried the tamei aspect of it. And if you're telling me that the tamei aspect is still there, it's just right now nullified in a halachic sense if you have to view what is the status of this item. Nevertheless, it should be still there in reality. And if in reality is there, and you're carrying it, then you should be tamei. Now, we're going to see a Balei Tosafot in a second, which has important ramifications. Before we even get to that, Rashi continues to say, Dimishkacha tumach rite, if it finds other tuma, mitzterefet bahada, it will connect with it, then reawaken and become tamei. So what Rashi seems to say is that the question is it really true that tuma is me'oreret tuma? That's basically the question of the Gemara. Can you have tuma reawaken the tuma there? Because if you do say that, then why isn't there a distinction between tumat maga and tumat masa with regards to this item? The problem with that is that Abaye just ended off the previous Gemara and said, I agree that tuma is a rare tuma, What I don't agree is that Tahara can be more rare than Tuma, which means that even Abaye, who questioned Rabbi Yirmiyah, he still agreed with regards to Tuma, Me'oreret Tuma. And then that means that the Gemara's question of Etevei is a question on Abaye himself. Abaye is challenging his own position. And tell us what it says. He's not comfortable with that. He says, Mitoch perisha kunches mashmash b'ladakdek de'ein tuma oreret tuma. Mitochashvina tuma kamandaleta. V'zeinu sugya shas. Shiboyave Abaye lakshota to'atzmo. Abaye is not going to bring a question on himself. That's not the normal way the Gemara flows. The Gemara isn't flowing away. Somebody else might bring a question to Abaye, but Abaye, who's presenting a question, is not going to present a question that also undermines his basic premise or his basic position. So he says, "Ve'afilo lo chashiva tuma kaman deita." The Tosfot says over here, even if we don't consider the tuma as if it exists, "Mikomakom b'dinu al tuma shorere tuma," it should work, even though tuma should be more rare tuma. Or in essence, what Tosfot is saying is Abaye's position is that tuma orere tuma works, nothing to do with the idea that it's still there, or it's as if it still exists. But that's just a basic fundamental tenet, that even if it was not there, we don't consider it there, tuma is more rare tuma. But if you believe, like Rabbi Yirmiyah, that tahora is more rare tuma, over there already you need the tuma to be keito, as if it still exists. Otherwise the tahora would not be more rare tuma. The Tosfot wants to narrow the scope of the question here in order that it's only a question on Rabbi Yirmiyah, not a question on Rabbi Abaye. But in doing so, he changes the dynamic significantly. Because Rashi says the whole concept here is that it's keman de'ite dami. It's as if it exists. In order for Tuma to be whatever Tuma, it has to be as if it exists. Otherwise it wouldn't be so. According to the Baye Tosfot, that's not true. Tuma would work to be whatever Tuma irrespective of that concept. If you want to go further, like Rabbi Yirmiyah, and say that even something tahor could reawaken something that's tamei, that already you need it to be kamadite dami. That it has to really exist. So that narrows the scope of where you would have that application. That's number one. Number two is, Tosfot asks, I don't really understand what the case is here in terms of tumat maga versus tumat masa. Where is it or why is it that you would be able to differentiate between the two of them? Ketzat teima, this is a little bit of a question. Keima dechoshiv hocha chibur b'miruda b'kisem. He had to come up with a scenario in which touching it or lifting it would be gekiyu tamei. So whether it's all squeezed together, it's sitting on a single toothpick that is holding them together. Me'au taimed b'tamei b'masa mishum tuma keman deite damya. Just like you would say by tuma masa, you're tamei, because it's if it exists. Me'au taimed gufei b'tamei b'maga. It should also be mitamei b'maga. I mean, whatever you're viewing in terms of masa should have the same impact in terms of maga. And then he says, v'yesh l'chalik. You could differentiate between them, and Tosafot doesn't explain how you differentiate between them, but the idea would be that when you come into contact with the item, you're coming into contact with a single location. You're not coming into contact with the entirety of the item, so then you have to then give a hachra'ah as to what the status of that point of contact is. But masa, on the other hand, you're carrying the whole thing, and therefore you're in essence in contact with the entirety of the item. That would be the basic distinction. But then Tosafot goes on to ask a very, very significant question, which has halakhic ramifications, which is, over here it seems from the Gemara that this robe over here would be successful at being mevatel isur, and that means that you could eat it. That means that if you ate the entirety of the item, we wouldn't worry about it. If you tell me that the tuma is kaman deite dami, and if you carry it, you're going to be tamei, then how could it be that you could eat the entirety of the isur that's here? So Tosafot says, I don't understand how you do that. It's really perplexing. So then he says, v'yesh lomar, and this is where a distinction which is important. D'le'inyan achila, when it comes to eating, ko mashu umashu shenichnas v'beit abliyah, koma koma batel berov heter. As each little piece goes in to be swallowed or enters into your throat where you would be chayav, consuming the isur, at that moment each particle or each piece is batel berov of heter. V'dami l'maga. And similar to contact. K'shenaga v'chazar v'naga t'tahor. We've seen this before. If you touch and then touch again, that you are tahor because you didn't touch at a single time the tuma. And similarly with regards to eating, since you didn't swallow it all at once, since you didn't get it down all at once, it would be fine, and you'd have to mevatel the iser. Va'af agav demistaber the tumat masah gufei leita elamid rabbanan. And then Tosfot says something even more striking, which is that this tumat masah that we're arguing for over here probably is only derabbanan. Tahanit batel berov, because in the end it really is batel berov. Mikomakom need the gozur rabbanan linyan masah lo gozur the inyan isur to lo dami mitayma depreciate. They were gozer by masah, they were not gozer by achila. So according to Tosfot, in the end, this is really important. Tosfot thinks that the bittul really works, and it's mevatel everything that's there, and it's as if it doesn't really exist. Why do you want to then say that by tumat masah it should be tameh? Because the chachamim were gozer when you carry it, then you're carrying the entirety of the tumah, and if you say that it could be chozer v'nitorer, then there is some remnant or some significance to the minority that is nitbatel. So when I carry the whole thing together with tumat masah, then the rabbanon instituted that you would be tameh. But by maga, where the contact is distributed, you're not touching everything at once, or even if you touch it in multiple places, it doesn't make you tameh if you do it in a sequential order, or even if you touch with two different pieces, two different halves, doesn't make you tameh. And similarly, when you swallow, you look at each item as being independent, and therefore, each singular item is batel. And so the rabbanon weren't gozer over there. So Tosafot really downgrades this whole Gemara to dirabbanon and says, really, bittul berov really works. And it's only midirabbanon that we institute this issue of tumat masah. There are rishonim who disagree, like the Rosh, who says that this issue of masah is a din d'oraita. And midoraita, you're a tamei when you carry it bitumat masah, because you're carrying the whole thing. That might have implications with regards to eating the entirety of the isur, because then you should be in the same boat, which is that you've consumed the entirety of the item. Now, Tosafot wants to differentiate between eating when you swallow little pieces at a time or goes down slowly, versus if you swallow the whole thing in one shot, maybe over there should be a distinction. That does have halachic ramifications, which we already noted before in Yoredeya Kuftet. In Yoredeya Kuftet, there is a machloket that's brought by the Shulchan Aruch with regards to this issue. Chaticha she'in ro'yu l'hitkabed. A piece of meat, which isn't ro'yu l'hitkabed, so then it doesn't have significance in itself, so it can't be batel. She'nitarva be'acherot. Min b'mina yavesh b'yavesh. It's min b'min, meaning pieces of meat where it's all dry. Nothing got mixed together where it's indiscernible anymore. And each item stands on alone. You just can't differentiate. You have three pieces of meat. Two kosher, one non-kosher, and you can't differentiate them. So then we say, that's batel birov. Two shchuta, one nevela. U mutar lo'ochlam adam echad kol achat b'fnei atzma. One person can eat all of them, as long as he eats one at a time. Avol lo yuchal shloshtam yachad. Don't eat all three of them at once. V'yesh mi she'oser lo'ochlam adam echad afilu zeh achar zeh. And there's some people who say that you can't even eat them sequentially, one at a time, if it's one person. Because mimon nafshach, you consume the iser in that case. This is exactly what the Balei Tosfot are speaking about here. When you say that it's batel berov, what is the remnant minority? What is the status of that minority in this case? If you consider it as if it's not there, that's what Tosfot concluded over here. It's really not there. It's really batel. The chamimer goes there in a case where you have masan, you're carrying the whole thing because of the chozer v'neor. There they said it. But otherwise, they're not going to be gozer. And therefore, in this case too, as long as you don't eat them in one shot, because that would be exactly like tumat masah, as long as you eat them sequentially, one at a time, then that's exactly like the Tosfot here. It should be batel as you take it down. You have a head there to eat it because of the gzeret hakatuv, akarei rabim latot. When there's a rove, you can be machriya via the rove, and there's no problem of isur. On the other hand, if you believe that this is a din d'oraita over here, you could seriously consider the fact that maybe even a single person couldn't eat all three pieces of meat, even though it's batel berov, because in the end, we say that the minority still exists enough midoraita to say that there's tumat masah over here, and therefore you shouldn't be able to eat it. And the Ramah brings, chen yesh linhod echatfila, it's proper not to eat, one person to eat all three pieces. Be'esh machmirim l'shlich echad. Some people are machmir to take one of them and throw it away, or give it to a goy. That's a chumrah. That's already a chumrah. But all of this really relates to whether you think the bittul that's happening over here, how successful is this bittul? And again, it comes up in that case, a very basic case of Isser v'Heter. We have Trey and one. It's Batel. What does that mean that it's Batel? How good is the bittul that you have? And that will be determined. Tosfot over here says it's all midrabanan, our problem here. Bittul really, really works. The other Mishonim believe that this Tumat Masa, there was many years Doraita, and bittul works up to a point. But it still exists. The minority there is still there. And if you're going to eat it all together, or one person can eat all of them, you're going to run yourself into a problem. Even though, ironically, it is the Rosh in that Siman and Yoredea, the Beit Yosef quotes for the source of the one who says that you can eat all three of them. You don't have to worry about Yisur at all. And the Smag was the one who says that one person shouldn't eat all three of them, based on the Balei Tosafot, which would seem to go a little bit in the opposite direction of the way that the Rosh and Tosafot are explaining the issue of Bittul over here. The Rosh himself addresses this discrepancy in the 7th Perek in Chulin, in Perek Ida Nashe, and Siman Lamed Zayin, all the way towards the end. He says, Im Gain, Isser Shnit Batel, Nami Neima, Kevin Dayade Mino, Shnit Tosaf Alav, Choser V'Neor. Why don't you say the same thing that we say by Tum'ah? Why don't you say the same thing by Isur? And he says, even though it might be Mutar Ba'achila because of Bittul Barov, that you can't eat all of them together. Because in the end, you're going to end up eating Isura. And the Rosh rejects that supposition and says, Tum'ah and Isur are totally different tracks. And that is bituma yeshneminei tuma maga umasa, and therefore one of them is captured by the bitul barov, which is maga, and that's why there's no tumat maga. The other one masa, which has this concept that you're carrying the whole thing, it is affected by the fact that it's command de ite domi. On the other hand, avad the inyan isur im nishar bo tzumtzad isur lo yamutar lechila. If it comes to isur, if there was any remnant or any semblance of an isur here, you wouldn't be able to eat it. Not only would you not be able to eat it if you ate all of them, but you wouldn't be able to eat them sequentially or one of them because you'd have a problem with Isur. And the miut becomes exactly like a rov. There's no residual Isur there. You can eat them all at once. You can put them all in together into a pot and there is no issue. And even though, elach asheri balav mino, if there is an awakening of that min, of the miut, neor, vavile kilu hukar, it's now as if it was found anew, veinkan od bitul, and the bitul then is undone, reversed, v'chazar liot asur mikan ule haba, but it is a prospective isur, not a retroactive isur. So the Rosh speaks to this distinction. It's not so easy to understand why or how he's exactly distinguishing. But he's saying there is this such exerta kutu by achila that doesn't exist by tuma, and that is how he explains the discrepancy of his view by tuma versus his view by isur and achila. But conceptually, you understand that there is this concept that bittul works to a point where it's if the other item doesn't exist, and if that's the case, then eating all three pieces should not be a problem. Or if you think that bittul works in terms of a hachra'a, it tells you what to do in any given situation. But if you're going to consume the entirety of what's there, and you're definitely going to cross over the Isur, it's going to be a problem, similar to what we're saying here by Tumat Masa. Therefore, Midoraita, we're going to tell you, one person should not eat all three pieces. He should only eat one or two of the pieces, and have someone else the other piece, because that way it's still a Hachra'a, vis-a-vis each given piece, and it's not absolutely certain that you consume the Isur over here. Given that background, so now the Gemara says that, if you believe in this concept that the minority is still there, how still there is now, according to the Tosafot, just the Rabbonon, according to the Rosh and others, it's Midoraita, it's really still there. By Maga, you're not going to be Tamei, because again, contact is in a discrete location, and therefore you didn't necessarily touch all of the Tuma, or you didn't come into the contact with the Tuma. Nevertheless, the Tamei Masa, because by Masa, by definition, you're carrying the entirety of the item, and you have the Tuma, that's there. Again, Tosafot thinks it's only midrabanan. Others think it's midoraita. Mar says, Hayit Marla. We already had a qualification of that Mishnah in Para. Am Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Tahor min l'tamei b'maka, avam l'tamei b'masa. Ein ochan ami. When the Mishnah says that when it's rove, efer makle, it's tahor and not tamei, it means tahor from tumat maga, not from tumat masa. Ein ochan ami. Tumat Masa would exist in this case. Veha Amar Rav Chista. Don't we have Rav Chista's statement? Nivela Bitela Bishkuta. Nivela can't be Batel through a Shkuta. It's exactly the case that we just discussed in Yoredeya. If you have more pieces of Shkuta than Nivela, the Shkuta is Mibatel the Nivela. She Afshar the Nivela to Tase Shkuta. Because the Nivela can never become a Shkuta. If you look in the Ote of the Shita Mekuetzet as well as in Rashi over here, they both say the Girsa of the Gemara is incorrect. That the Girsa of the Gemara should not be the way that we have it, which we just read, but rather, she Afshar the Shkuta Shita Ase Nivela. It is that the Shkuta can never become a Nivela. That is that meat that is Shkuta can't, by definition, turn into a Nivela. There's no way to make a meat that was shechted properly into Tumat Nivela. Tumat Nivela is a failure in Shechita, or it's an animal that dies without Shechita. You can't have something that was Shechut, then after the fact, turn into a Nivela, which is not true in the reverse, because a Nivela can turn into a Shechuta. What do you mean a Nivela can turn into a Shechuta? Shechuta means something that's mutar to eat. Nivela can also reach the point where it's mutar to eat if it decomposes enough where it's no longer ra'ui la'achila. Oh, depending what type of achila, we'll see the threshold, whether it's a ger or whether it's a kelef, but there's a certain threshold beyond which you can lose tumat nevela, and therefore the meat will no longer convey tumah, or the meat will no longer be technically a sur b'achila, because it's no longer a nevela. So nevela can't become a shkuta. A shkuta cannot become a nevela. We saw this in the Gemara Minachot. The bittul here depends on whether you focus on the mevatel, the item that's doing the bittul, or the batil, the item that's becoming batel, that is being nullified. Depending on which one you focus on, and that might also influence the girsa over here. But both the Shita and Rashi say that it's impossible for a shkuta to become a nevela. Because of that, it's min sheino mino. And for that reason, the shkuta is able to be mevatel the nevela, which is not true in reverse. The nevela could not be mevatel the shkuta. Since the nevela can become a shkuta, then it's mi b'mino, and it can't be mevatelet. We discuss this much more in detail in the Gemara Minachot, and we're going to introduce other factors that we also discussed in Chulin as well. But just for our case over here, according to Rav Chista, nevela is wiped out by shkuta, which means if you have majority of shkuta, that overwhelms the nevela. It's batel, because of the fact that the shkuta does not turn into nevela, and therefore it has its own standing. And it can be mevatel nevela. Vice versa would not be true because nevela can't turn into a shkuta. Then Gemara says, Nei de magalo mitamei, letamei v'masa. Same thing over here. If you are successful at being mevatel over here, that should be true for maga. It should not be true for masa. So this actually brings it to the case that we spoke about in Yoredeya Kuftet, which is, okay, bittul works over here, but it should only work up to a certain point. It should work in the case where you're having discrete interactions with the item. But when you're taking the whole item, the nevela still exists in there. If it still exists, it should make you tameh. How good that is. If it's so good, maybe you can't even eat it. Aton bid Rav Chista matnitullah. You bring this statement from Rav Chista. Anan bid Rav Yechia matnitullah. We have it from Rav Yechia. Tatani Rav Yechia. Nevela ushkuta b'telot zo bazo. Rav Yechia's din is that it works in both directions. It's bidirectional. And that both a shkuta can be mevatel a nevela, or a nevela can be mevatel a shkuta. Ve'it marala. But on that we have Amar Rav Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Tor mi letamei b'maga, aval mitamei b'masa. So then we solved the problem because in Okanami, that you asked, shouldn't it be only tahor from maga, not tahor from masa? And we say, well, you did that with Rav Chista. We have it from Atano, we have it from Rabbi Chiyo. And once we have Rabbi Chiyah, we also have that qualification we saw before of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, that it's tahor, it's a meba maga, but there is tumat masa over here. And again, we've answered the question, which is, you say, why shouldn't it be mitameh masa? The answer is, it is mitameh masa, and you're right. Because of the minority as being as if it existed, and because it could be choser b'neur, it has enough significance that if you carry the entirety of the item, then you are going to become tameh. Vahat nan. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, which is our Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says, "Beim agasash shafat charat dam." If you have a larger animal that is discharging this coagulated blood out of it, harizot tikaver, That is buried, because we assume whatever was discharged was a miscarriage. That is the Bechor. And therefore, you have to bury it, because you're not allowed to get a Noah from it. V'niftara min ha-Bechorah. And then the next one that's born doesn't have Kedushat Bechor, because that already happened with the first discharge. V'tani Rabbi Chiya, Eina mitama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. And we saw over there, the Rabbi Chiya said about our Mishnah, that there's no tumat maga, no tumat masa. The Gemara over there was perplexed. How could you have that? How could it be kadosh b'kedushat bechor, which means that it's designated as a vlad? And if it's a vlad, then the miscarried vlad should have tumah associated with it. And then why is there no tumah? On the other hand, you're telling me that you discharge the obligation versus bechorah. They're mutually exclusive. How can you not have tumah, and yet you do have a tour from bechor? The Gemara there then answered, that's because it's batel, that you have other items that are coming out with the vlad. The vlad dissolved, or something happened to the vlad that it was no longer really an entity by itself, and then it comes out with other items, like the placenta and the water and blood that's associated with it, and that was mevatalit. So as far as tumah is concerned, you have bitul. As far as bechorah is concerned, you have a vlad here. The vlad may not be discernible anymore, but it was a vlad. And that vlad already means that you're patur mi bechorah, because that was the peter rechem. Again, we said there that you have to bury it, even though technically it's batel berov, because of the fact that we want people to know that it was kadosh b'kedushat b'chorah, and that the next one that's born will not have b'kedushat b'chor. But you saw from Chiya, no tumat maga, no tumat masa. And it's working with bitul. Amai, hida maga lo mitama, titamei b'masa. There you should be able to make that same distinction, which is, if your bitul is successful, that should be successful vis-a-vis maga. It should not be successful vis-a-vis masa. Ishtik. Now he had no answer. Where it says, Dilma shani ocha tabulate tumat srucha. Maybe it's different over here, because this is something that is already rancid, something that's already rotten and inedible, and because of that, there is no tuma whatsoever. Meaning it's past the threshold by which tuma is relevant at all. The reason maybe it's not tamei tuma maga masa is not just because of bitul berov, which is the reasoning that we gave in the Gemara before, but maybe because it's just not a nevela anymore. It's past its point where it's classified as a nevela. So Gemara says, Anichol the Bar Pada, that works well according to Bar Pada. This is a machloket that we saw between Bar Pada and Rabbi Yochanan in Chulin, as to what is the threshold that takes something out of the world of nevela. So according to Bar Pada, Damar Tuma Chamura Ad Ger, the Tuma Kala Ad Kelev, when you're dealing with higher levels of Tuma, then if a ger no longer eats it, then it's already outside that world. It's no longer in that world of tumah. By lower levels of tumah, it has to pass the point of roi lechilat kelev, where a dog would want to eat it. Rashi says the difference between tumah chamura and tumah kala is tumah chamura means masa, and tumah kala would be tumat maga. That's how it would seem to be from Rashi, the distinction. Tosafot does not like that distinction. He says tumah chamura is something like tumat nevela, which has tumat masa, but the tumat maga is also chamura here. The tumat kala is tumat ochlim, which is a lighter form of tumah, which the tumah doesn't emanate from itself, and it has other kulot in terms of tumah with tumat ochlim. So now, Bar Pada says the threshold is ger. So this item that's discharged by the animal, no human being is going to eat it, whether Jewish, not Jewish, kosher, not kosher, they're not going to eat it. So already it's been disqualified from the level of a ger. So then, according to Rashi, it just means that tumat masa, ger is the threshold. Tumat maga, the threshold is kelev. So you're right. Over here, the tumat maga is gone because of bitul berov. And the tumat masa is gone because you went below the threshold of where it's classified as an avela, which is no longer ra'oi for a ger toshav. So according to Bar Pada, you solved the problem here, because it's not edible to a ger toshav. And even if it's edible to a dog, then you have bitul berov and everything works. According to Tosafot, the whole concept, according to Bar Pada, by tumat nevela, which is tumat chamura, then both the masa and the maga are not relevant over here because they already went below the threshold for tumat chamura. So for Rashi, Bar Pada still needs bitul berov to deal with the tumat maga. For Tosafot, he doesn't need it to deal with tumat maga or masa. He doesn't need bitul berov at all. And that's all Rabbi Yochanan Shita. So that works well according to Bar Pada. Because it's not ro'oi for ger toshav to eat it. Ela Rabbi Yochanan damar achad zo v'achad zo lekelev. Doesn't matter if it's Tumah Chamura or Tumah Kala. It has to go below the threshold of being edible for a dog. I mean, it has to be less than dog food. Then HaChazil HaKelev. We see that dogs would eat this stuff all the time. This is like a delicious dessert for them. They're going to eat this. If that's the case, Tumat Nevela still exists. If Tumat Nevela still exists, then why is it not Mitameh B'Maga and B'Masah? It should only not be Mitameh B'Maga because of Bittul Baruch. But Masah should still be a problem, Kasho. That's a problem. If you think like Rabbi Yirmiyah, that it's command to eat the dummy, and you think like Rabbi Yochanan, that it has to go below the threshold of Kelev, you can't match those opinions together because otherwise you have a problem. Now, why, according to Rabbi Chia, do you have this situation in which it's not mitameh b'maga and b'masa? In that situation, it should have at least been mitameh b'masa. Gufa. Now the Gemara says, Bar Poldo Amar Tuma Chamura Ad Leger Tuma Kala Ad Lekelev. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chadzo V'Chadzo Ad Lekelev. This is the machloket we just discussed. My time of the Bar Poldo. What's the reasoning that Bar Poldo says that the cutoff of the threshold is a ger? Tiktiv, lo tochlu kol neneveva, legera sher bisharecha titnena v'achala, o machor lenachri, kigam kadosh atal Hashem lokecha, lo tevashel gedi, v'kalei v'imo. So over there, you see that the definition of nevela is something that you would give legera sher bisharecha to eat. So when is it called a nevela? When it's something that you would give to the ger to eat. If you're not going to give it to the ger to eat, because the ger wouldn't eat it, then it's no longer classified as a nevela. That's the source for Bar Poldo's position, which is a ruyah leger, kruya nevela. It's ruyah for a ger, it's called a nevela. Shein ruyah leger, ain't a kruya nevela. It's not ruyah for a ger, it's not called a nevela. Be'idach, Rabbi Yochanan. Lemuteheka de'esricha mi'ikara. That is to teach you that if it's rotten from the outset, then even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that there is no tumat nevela over here. So Rabbi Yochanan says, once it's attained tumat nevela, in order to rid it of tumat nevela, it's got to drop below the threshold of la kelev, meaning that it has to be no longer ro'oi la kilat kelev. On the other hand, if to attain tumat nevela from the outset, then it had to at least been ro'oi the ger at some point. If it's rotten from the outset, rancid from the outset, Rashi gives the example of srucha mi'ikara, konsh nishtabaru, evera mi'chayim vitlia, that he had broken limbs while it was still alive, and then they rotted, or they became rancid while it was still alive. So that's like a sricha meikara, where the srucha preceded the possibility, or the devolvement of the tumat nevela. Then even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that there is no tumat nevela. Vidach, Bar Poldo, where does he learn about his sricha meikara? Sricha meikara, lo sricha kro, le mu'ute. You don't need a pasuk to tell you that if it's rotten and rancid from the outset, that it's not called tumat nevela, it's not nevela. Afro ba'almohu. It's not considered to be food, it's not considered to be nevela. It's a piece of dust, it's a piece of dirt. It's not really something that you would classify it as a nevela. So I don't need a pasuk to teach you that. Tosafot even mentions the fact that he thinks that Rabbi Yochanan thinks that way as well. Says, Yesh lomar dinyan isur achila, vadeh lo tzarech kra mi'ikara afrahu. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that you don't need a pasuk to teach you that srucha meikara is not asur ba'akhila because it's not a nevela. He says the Bar Poldo statement is pretty clear. It's afra ba'alma, and Rabbi Yochanan is not going to disagree with that. And we actually find that Rabbi Yochanan himself says that in other places. Aval inyan tuma havamina mitameh. He says the reason Rabbi Yochanan needs the pasuk here is for tuma. You would think that tuma has application even when it's inedible or even when it's srucha meikara. Because afgav dochazir achila midahava sheretz v'shichvat zera v'ziva. Give all these types of things that cause tuma that are not edible items. So maybe tumbeila should also have a din of tuma, even though it's not an edible item. So maybe the classification of edibility has to do with whether it's asur b'achila or not. But in terms of tuma, tuma should be irrespective of that. That's why you need a srucha meikara according to Rabbi Yochanan to exclude it. What is the source for Rabbi Yochanan's position that achila kelev is the threshold? Those what says, don't quote me the pasuk that you quoted in the first time there of Yochanan, but Sarba said that Trefa lo tochelu lo kelev tashlikun oto, da'i, the achilat kelev kaimo. That's because it's for the dog to eat. Eleyesh the faresh mirichtiv, you get it from the pasuk in Melachim Bet, where the Navi tells us that because of what Izebel did with regards to Navot HaKarmeli, that she is going to be punished. Her corpse or her body will be thrown out into the wild, and the dogs will eat it, b'chelek Israel, in the portion of Israel, and it comes to fruition. Then when Yehu leads the rebellion, he kills Izebel. By the time they come down to get the body, after she's thrown out of the window or pushed out of the window, she's gone and it's been taken away by the dogs. They're eating her already to fulfill this nevuah. Alma, achilat klavim, shmei achilah. That teaches you that what dogs eat is called achilah. But if it goes below that threshold, then it's no longer really achilah. What the Navi is telling you is that when dogs eat it, it's still classified as achilah. So below that threshold, that's not called achilah. So he says that's the source for Rabbi Yochanan's position. It's not. Can we move on? Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Ve'ema Gassa, Shafat Charat Dam, Harizot Gaver, our Mishnah, V'nifteret Mina Bechura. V'tani Rabbi Chia, Einem Etamah Lo B'maga V'lo Masa. That's the qualification that we saw in our Mishnah. No Tumat Ma'maga, no Tumat Masa. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Bitul Berov, Naguba. And the answer that we gave in the Gemara before is, Bitul Berov. Why is it that Rabbi Chia says that you're Poter Mina Bechura, but there's no Tumah? Those are mutually exclusive. If there's a vlad here, it should be metameh. If there's no vlad here, then there's no bechora that's been discharged. You have mutually exclusive positions. The answer was, there's a vlad, patur mi bechora, but the vlad is batel berov. Now, this is Rabbi Yochanan. Why does Rabbi Yochanan need bitul berov? My area mishum bitul berov. Why do you need it to be batel berov? Typically, to lo itchaze klal. Just say that it's saruach mi ikara. This is something that didn't reach the threshold of gear from the outset. When the animal discharged it, no gear is going to eat this discharge that's coming out of the animal. If that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Tumat Nevela doesn't exist when it's Srucha Meikara. Srucha Meikara, the threshold is Ger Toshav. He agrees that to get Tumat Nevela, you have to at least be above the threshold of Ger Toshav. To get rid of it, you need to get below Kelev. But if the outset, it wasn't even really the Ger, you can't have Tumat Nevela. So why are we talking about Bitul Berov? You could have done it through the problem of srucha meikara. Ha nami itchaze meikara agavi me. There was a point in time where it was roi the ger. And that's when it was still in utero. When it was still in utero, the ger would have eaten the mother, and this is considered to be like yerechimo. It's considered to be an extension of the mother. And then possibly you could argue that he might have eaten it because he considers it to be a part of the mother. When it's separate and distinct, he won't eat it because it's disgusting. But as part of the mother, he might eat it. Or you could just argue that it's considered to be Yerachimo. And since it's Yerachimo, even though it's a part of the mother that might have disgusted you, it's still, because of its being contained in the entirety of the mother, it can gain a status of being Ro'oi La'achila, not Srucha Meikara. So for that reason, you need Bitul Berov over here, because it's not classified as Srucha Meikara. It's not Otom. You have another Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Tzir Tahor, Shnafalu Toko Mayim Koshu. If you have Tzir, the brine that we discussed yesterday, which has a little bit of tamei water that falls into it, tamei. It makes the whole thing tamei. Now you're in trouble. Rashi claims that the case here is tzir tahor, is where you already took it to the mikveh. We did what you said you had to do yesterday, which is when you have a mixture of brine and water, and it comes from an amaretz, you take it to the mikveh and you do a shaka, miman of shak, now it's tahor. If the majority was brine, then brine is not mekabel tuma, and you don't have to worry about it. If the majority was water, then you do a shaka with the mikveh, and then that joining with the mikveh makes it that the water is now tahor, and the brine isn't a problem because it's nitbatel to the water. And so now you have water here, and water you can be tahor through a shaka in the mikveh. So that's what you started with. So now you have this tzir tahor, and then you have a little water that drops into it. It is tameh. What they're speaking about here is hozer v'neur. So in the instance where you brought it to the mikveh and miman of shach, we don't know if the tzir was the majority or the water was the majority. If the water is majority, the whole case is closed already, because then you took it to the mikveh and it was hashoka and you got rid of the tumah completely, then this is not really so relevant. The more relevant side of this is when you have the tzir as the majority and then the water that's there is the minority. The water there that's the minority then can be reawakened. So here it says, if you add in a koshul, that water is reawakened, and now the tumah comes back to life again. And the Rashi points out, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, even if tahor water fell in, this would be true. According to those that think that it only works chozer v'neur when it's tumah and tumah, then it would have to be that the water or the koshul that fell in was also mayim tmeim or mayim of an amaretz, because then even Abaye would agree that it's chozer v'neur. So Amar Rav Nachman Amar Ravua, zot omeret. You have to conclude from here Nechshedu Amearetz Larev Mechsa Betzir. That Amearetz mixed together 50-50 in their mixtures of water and brine. Because otherwise this would not be relevant. What you're trying to get to is a case where this becomes the majority. This koshu is going to push you over the threshold to make the water that's tamei into the majority now. The only way that could be is if you started out with a 50-50 mixture, and therefore the 50-50 mixture is seemingly okay, and then when you get this little extra tuma in there, it causes you a problem. The lamale mechsa, why does that have to be 50-50? Avelu botzer mi mechsa nami. Even if it's just a little less than the 50% threshold, v'ani mashu avale palga upalga lo botil. As long as the mashu brings you up to 50-50, then you don't have bitul anymore. I mean, as long as the brine was the majority, you have bitul. If you bring it up to the threshold where it's 50-50, there's no longer bitul because you don't have batel berob. There's no robe over here. Ema ad mechsa. They don't fill it exactly to 50%, but they get close to 50%. And that way, when you add the mashu, you're going to run yourself into a problem. Iba et ema tumat amaretz dirabanan, tumat mashkim dirabanan, berubo gazru rabanan, palgo palgo lo gazru ba rabanan. The other answer is, it has to be 50-50 to start with. Because if it was 50-50, the chamim wouldn't cause a problem over here. That's because we're dealing with two issues, midrabanan. Tumat amaretz is just a chashash that the amaretz don't worry about tumah. They don't take care of it. They're going to come tamei from their wives that are nidot, and they won't be careful about things. And then they're going to be in contact with these food items. And therefore, they're causing tumah. So that's already a chashash, midrabanan. In addition, tumat mashkim, according to the Gemara in the first parak of Pesachim, according to some opinions, is only midrabanan, not midoraita. The ability for mashkim to be mekabel tumah is a din derabanan, not a din deoraita. Some over there say that kabbalat tumah is midoraita, but conveyance of tumah is midrabanan. Either way, that would then set this up to be only a problem necessarily derabanan. Since only derabanan, the rabbanimer goes there where the majority of the item is tumah, not when the minority is tumah. So that way, if it was 50-50, the rabbanim wouldn't be goes there in that case. So that's why it went with the 50-50 number. Or you give the previous answer, which is even a little less than 50-50, and this raises it to 50-50. What you do note over here is something that Baal Tosafot said before, that in a situation where you have 50-50, you can use hashaka. That you can put it into the mikveh and it would work. Because the reason the mikveh doesn't work when you have a majority of brine is because exactly that. You had a majority of brine, which then makes the water insignificant. Since the water is insignificant, when you put it in the mikveh, you're not doing hashaka because the water as if it doesn't exist. And that's why the problem of Chozer Neir later on, because the tameh water never went ois tameh. It just got nitpatel by the brine. If you can reawaken it, then later on, it's going to be a problem. On the other hand, if you have majority of water, then the water becomes tahor, and then there's no Chozer Neir anymore because you got rid of the tumah completely. Tosafot over there says in a 50-50 mixture, the mikveh would work as well. Because the brine is not mevatel the water. If the water still exists, then the water that's tameh does a shaka. If it does a shaka, then it goes away. The Gemara over here sounds otherwise. Both from the second answer of the Gemara, where it says that maybe the case is mechsa mechsa. And according to Rashi, it went into the mikveh beforehand. It was mechsa mechsa, went into the mikveh. According to Tosfot, there's no tameh water left here. So there's nothing to discuss. There's no chozer v'neyor. Or according to the first answer that says it got to mechsa v'mechsa, then why can't you do a shaka after the fact, and that should solve your problem? The fact that the Gemara doesn't entertain that over here seemingly goes against what Tosfot said before, that when you have mechsa mechsa, since each entity exists, and it's still extant, the water, because it's not batel to the brine, that could work with a shaka. Gemara here seems to indicate that that's not the case, and it doesn't work with a shaka. What you're going to have to say is the existence of the brine causes you the problem. Which is, yeah, ain't okanami, the water's existence should have worked for a shaka. But the significance of the brine makes it that there is a problem now. You don't just have water here. You have another item, and that other item is going to block your ability to then do a shaka. So that also seems to undermine what the Baal Tosafot said before in explaining that mechsa mechsa should also work with a shaka. All right, next Mishnah. Shimon Gamliel Omer, Okeach Beima Menika Minoevi Kochavim. Purchase a nursing mother from a non-Jew. Ein Choshushim Shema Bana Shel Acheret Haya. We don't assume that this is someone else's child. I mean, that this animal has yet to give birth, and it's nursing because it's one of those minority of animals that gives milk even though it was never pregnant, it never had a child, and it's nursing someone else's child. So that you'd be choshesh for all those things to make the next one a safek bechor because of this fact. Now, before we mentioned that, Gemara mentioned the example of gedi'im. It happens to be that gedi'im are those types of animals that sometimes have milk production even though they haven't been pregnant. That would also match up with what we're saying over here, that there is this possibility that you could be nursing even though you never were pregnant, and you're nursing some other animal's child. We don't worry about that. And the next animal is chulin the gamre, that's born from this mother. Nichtas l'toch hedro. He went into his flock. V'ra'at ha'mavkirot menikot. V'she'ena mavkirot menikot. And the ones that have yet to give birth, they are also nursing. So you have the animals that gave birth already nursing, and animals have yet to give birth. This is their first child. They're also nursing. Ein kol sheshin shem v'nasel zeh v'alo etzel zoh. O shem v'nasel zoh v'alo etzel zoh. We assume each animal has its own kids together with it. And therefore, you could assume all the animals that have males from the females that have yet to give birth, those are all kadosh b'kedushat bechor. And all the animals that had already given birth, any male that's with them is not kadosh b'bechora because it's not a firstborn. You don't have to worry about this mixing between them. Amar Rav Nachman mishmei derav. Rav Nachman says the name of Rav. Hilchotah b'kulei pirkin bar miplukta. The locha is like any mishnah where there is no dissension in the mishnah. If you have a mishnah that has an opinion and there's nobody dissenting in the mishnah, then the locha is like that. Amar Rav Sheshet, Amina ki naim shachim Rav Amar Laha Shmaitata. Rav was dozing off when he said this. There's no way Rav could say this. Ahai, on which mishnah would he say that that's the case? Which mishnah is he paskin like in our perek? Ilei ma reisha. If you go back to the first mishnah in our perek, Mafligi Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva. That's the machloki Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva as to whether age makes a difference in terms of whether it's a bechor or not a bechor. Ella adi Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Wait, we just had a mishnah that was headed by Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov and nobody disagreed with it, with the miscarrying of the blood, that coagulated blood. He brought that down from Lezer ben Yaakov and nobody argued on that mishnah. So maybe that's what Rav was referencing to. He says, you don't need that. Mishnah Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov kav v'naki. We have a principle with regards to Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov that his mishnah are kav, as Rashi says, me'at. There aren't so many of them in Shas. V'naki. And they're clean means that they pass, we pass in the halacha like those mishnayot when it comes to Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. If you already have a principle to pass like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, you don't really need Rav to come again and tell you the halacha is like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. And even though, as the Baal Tosfos will point out, there are other places in Shas, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov speaks, and we still say halacha ki Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, even though we have this principle. That's because Tosfos says in those cases there was a havamino or a reason to believe that the logic dictated against Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Well, there's a reason to believe that the halacha is not like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Over there, you have to come and make a statement that it's still like him in that case. But if there's no controversy and there's no reason to believe otherwise, you don't need to tell me the halacha is like him. We know that already. Ella the Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. What about our mishnah? Our mishnah is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel making a statement without any dissension. So maybe that's what Rav was referring to. Mithlag polig bebraita. We have a braita that argues on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which we're going to bring at the end of today's daf, that there is a braita that has dissension. So then the halacha is not like him. Ella the Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam. Okay, the next mishnah, which is headed by Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam, let's say that that means the halacha is like him. The problem is, Hamar Rav Chadazima, Rav already told us explicitly, Damarav Yochatok Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam. On that mishnah, Rav says, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam. So why does he have to tell us this other principle? Ella aseyar de balmum. What about the hair of a balmum? There, miflug plige, akavya ben mehalel, verabonon. Over there you have a machloket tanaim. Akavya ben mehalel and the rabbanon argue. So that doesn't qualify. So Rav makes a statement that any mishnah where there's no argument in our perek, then the halacha is like that mishnah. First of all, we have three mishnayot where there's machloket. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, and one mishnah. Our mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, where we're going to have the Rabbanon argue in the Braita. And the last mishnah, which is the Kaviyah ben Halel, and the Rabbanon argue. You have two mishnayot that are opinions that they have no dissension to them. One of them is the mishnah of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, the previous mishnah of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. That we don't need Rav to tell us the halacha is like it, because the halacha is always like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. And the next mishnah, which is Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam, where Rav already told us explicitly the halacha is like it. If that's the case, then what is Rav telling us? What new information is he giving us in this statement? So Gemara answers, Lolam ad Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. It's about our Mishnah. And Rav is saying the locha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Hakamash Malan. And what he's teaching you is, the Braita lo pluktahi, that even though the Braita argues on our Mishnah, in our Mishnah there's no dissension. Since in our Mishnah there's no dissension, the locha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The fact that there's a dissenting opinion in the Braita is not relevant. The Kevin Dharma Rav, Hilchata Bekula Birkin, Barmi Plukta, Halacha, Karabi Shiyotsi Ben Mishulam, Lomali. Okay, now he explained to me that. But then if he already laid out this principle, then the Halacha will be like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah, and the Halacha should be like Rabbi Yossi Ben Mishulam in the next Mishnah. Why do I need Rav to come and explicitly say the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi Ben Mishulam? Should have been captured in this principle that he laid out. Had it been that he said the halacha is like the entire perek where there's no argument, and he didn't mention specifically that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam in our next Mishnah, I would have thought that Rav's statement was speaking about Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam. So then why does he mean the whole perek? The whole perek may sound like it's more than one time. The Rabbi Yossi tarte amar. In the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi has two statements. He has two halachot that he's discussing. And therefore, that means the halacha is like him in both of those instances. And that's what it would have meant. Uplokta de braita plokta. And then why do we not say by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, halacha is like our Mishnah? It's because we have a braita that has a dissenting opinion. So had you just had Rav's principle that anywhere there's no dissension in our perek, the halacha is like that Mishnah, we would assume that was Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam. And it says, Kulei Pirke, because Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam has two halachot over there, and the halacha is like him. But then we would have believed that our Mishnah, where it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the halacha is not like him, because you have a braita with a dissenting opinion. So then, Ashminan, when Rav then tells us, halacha Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam, explicitly, Ashminan, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, kai, that then, by definition, means that Rav's statement that anywhere there's no machloket, the halacha is like that Mishnah, means it's referring to our Mishnah about Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And therefore, the dissension in the Braita is not relevant because it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. My Braita. Keep talking about this Braita. What's this Braita? The Tanya. We have a Braita. Someone who purchases a nursing animal from a non-Jew. The next animal that's born is a Safek. Because sometimes an animal will take on an animal, even though it never gave birth. It will want to nurse. It will want to have a child, and therefore it will nurse another animal's child, even though it never gave birth. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Tavar Becheskato. Got to deal with reality. Chazaka is, first of all, an animal it nurses when it's given birth. And number two is when it's given birth, in all likelihood, it's nursing its own child. So you don't have to worry about it. Bechein Hayer Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Anichnas Letochek Dro Balayla. Someone enters into his flock at night. And he sees in there 10 or 15 animals. Some of them have given birth before. Some of them have not given birth before. The Macharishkim gets up the next morning. All the male offspring are nursing from the animals that are not giving birth for the first time. And all the female animals are nursing from the ones that gave birth for the first time. You don't worry about the fact that there was an exchange or a change over here. And therefore, we assume that nothing is Kedushat Bechor over here. Because all the firstborns were Nekevot. And all the ones that already had given birth had Zecharim. And they're not Kadosh Kedushat Bechor because it's already the second child. And you don't have to worry about mix-up changing of offspring. You can rely on the Chazakah. And that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah, same opinion in the Braita. But we do see that the Tanna Kamma disagrees, that there's a dissenting opinion over there. And that would have been our Havamina, that dissension makes it that the Halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Along comes Rav to tell us the dissension's in the Braita, not in our Mishnah, and the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in this Mishnah. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots, and a third of the way down on Chavdalet Amud Aleph.